If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 41. Notice I've got my specs this morning. When I read the red lettered edition, it is a little difficult without them. It says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his house, and to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that ye shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The events described in this particular passage of Scripture reminds us of the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come again, and that we need to be ready for his coming, that he will judge and examine us when that time comes. And the first chapter, or the first few verses of chapter 24 of Matthew, the Bible tells us that the disciples were anxious to know, "Lord, what is the sign of your coming, and when will the end be?" And Jesus gave some outward visible signs, and we're going to be talking this morning about invisible signs. But he gave some outward visible signs. The events described in this section are the beginning of sorrows, the birth pains of the end itself. The image of a woman in travail is of a picture of the tribulation period. I want us to consider just a few of these events briefly that we can see and we can know when they come to pass. The Bible tells us about religious deception in verse 4 and 5. The Jews have often been led astray by false prophets and false Christs. The rider on the white horse in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, is the Antichrist, that final world dictator who is going to lead the nations astray. He will begin his career as a peacemaker, signing a peace treaty or a covenant with Israel and the Israelites, or the Jews, and the Arabs, and he will keep that agreement for 3.5 years, and then at the midpoint, his true nature will come out as he is energized by Satan himself, and he will become one that wars against Israel and the Lord. The Bible tells us there'll be wars and rumors of wars, there'll be famines, there'll be earthquakes and death. And these are the beginning of sorrows. These are things that we can see. And there'll be worldwide chaos, it says in verses 10 through 13. Those who were once true to each other will betray one another, the Bible says. This suggests that marriages and homes and nation will be torn asunder because of lack of loyalty. Lawlessness will abound, and even those that are to keep the law will not be able to do so. We will be living in some lawless and wicked times. The Bible also tells us that there will be a worldwide preaching of the gospel. And it reminds us of the fact that the Jews in 1948, they're pictured in the Bible as being a fig tree, a symbol that identifies Israel. And consequently, when you see the fig tree began to blossom and to bring forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. And so he reminds us that when you see the fig tree doing that, that you know that the end is nigh upon us. And the Bible tells us that in 1948, the Lord said there would be a mass exodus from all the four corners of the earth. They had been scattered abroad. And now then they're being brought back home. And the Lord predicted that this would happen in the end time. And when we see this, then know that our redemption draweth near. Well, in this section that I want to look at this morning, he describes the inward attitudes. While everyone who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life will be taken to heaven, not every believer, not everyone who says they believe, will be ready to meet the Lord. And this is what he's reminding us of. When Jesus returns and takes his church to heaven, he will sit on his judgment seat and he will judge his own people. We're talking about those that are Christians here. He will judge our works and he will give rewards to those who have been faithful to serve him. These parables that we're going to deal with this morning suggest that Jesus will judge three kinds of different groups of professed believers. And we want to look at that this morning and find yourself in the message as we go through it today. In verses 45 through 51, he talks about the obedient and the disobedient servant. God's people on earth are called a household. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, in Galatians 6:10, God has put servants over his household in order to feed the members of the church. And the purpose of the spiritual leader is to feed the congregation. He is the shepherd leader. He is the one that delivers the message that God has laid on his heart for the people. It is a serious thing for a pastor or leader in a local church to be one that does not accomplish or do what he is supposed to do as far as ministering to the people. Our motives must be right, and that he serves the Lord Jesus Christ and the church in love. Your pastor has to love, not just has to love, but he wants to love all the people of God that God has given him accountability for. And we're to do this not only in word, but in deed. It needs to be reflected that my pastor loves me, he cares for me. Members should submit to spiritual leadership, because one day we will all stand before God and we will be judged, pastor and people. And we will have to stand before God and account for the life that we've lived under the guidelines that the Lord has given us. Now the servant took, or his task is not to be popular, but to be obedient. He has to do what God leads him to do. It's so important that we serve the Lord out of a heart of love and obedience to him, knowing that one day we will have to stand before him and account for the life that we've lived down here and how we've done what he's commanded us to do. We are the shepherd leader. We're not a boss. We're not a dictator. We are a shepherd leader. And we are to love our people. And our people love the pastor. And consequently, when that happens, then they're able to do what God's called us to do, and that is to be a witness to the lost and dying world. Help them to come to know Jesus Christ. And ultimately, that's our goal. That's what we try to do. That's what we need to do. That's what we're commanded to do by the Lord. In Matthew chapter 24, 51, it says, if the spiritual leader is obediently doing his job when the Lord returns, he shall be rewarded. But if that leader is not doing his job when the Lord returns, he will be dealt with in a very severe way, the Bible says. Verse 51 says, and shall punish him severely and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Now, the reward for an obedient service is the capacity in heaven for greater service. But God intends for us as a church and a pastor that we work together in order to accomplish what we've been challenged to do and commanded to do by the Lord. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we do that out of a heart of love here to you and you to here. And we work together. We put our arms around one another and we do the work God has called us to do. What caused the servant's downfall that we just talked about? Something went wrong in his heart. And what it was, he ceased to expect the Lord's second coming. And you know, when we think that he's not coming anytime soon, we have a tendency to get lazy, lethargic. And we go through the motions, but we really don't do what we're commanded to do. We're under orders. We're in the army of the Lord, and we are to do what he commands us to do, and that's to go into all the world and preach the gospel, telling folks about Jesus Christ. Whenever God's servants cannot work together, it is often because somebody has forgotten the fact that Jesus is coming the second time. And don't you know, don't you feel it in the air? Don't you just sense the fact that his coming is near? It's near. And we need to be looking every day for the Lord to come, because he is going to come. We need to be looking for his appearing. And then he talks about the wise and the foolish witnesses. Now, a wedding in that particular biblical time had two parts. First of all, the bridegroom, he would go with his friends to the bride's house, and he would ask the parents for the daughter's hand in marriage, and then he would take the bride-to-be, he would take her back to his house for the marriage feast. It seems here that that had already happened, and they were on their way back to the marriage feast when all of this happened. Now, the church has known for some 2,000 years that Jesus Christ is going to come again. We've known that. The Bible said that if I go, I will come again. The angel said this same Jesus that you see going into heaven will also come again in like manner as you've seen him go. So we need to be reminded that he is coming again. Many believers have become drowsy. You know, people can come to church and some of the best sleeping places in town, you know, it's right here in the house of God. I've had folks tell me, well, preacher, I trust you. I know what you're going to say is going to be right. I trust you. And I'm at peace with God. But you know, we've become drowsy and we no longer can feel that sense of excitement that Jesus is coming back again. And we need to be ready to meet him. One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to take the church. He's going to take us home. One of these days, we're going to leave this old world behind. And we're going to that place that he's provided for those that love him. Well, the servant's task is to be faithful. Now, oil is usually a symbol of the word of God. And in this particular passage it is. The church should be holding forth the word of life in this dark and wicked age in which we live. We are to keep witnessing and telling folks about Jesus until he comes and tells us it's enough. Now, when the bridegroom and the bride appeared, the Bible said half of the bridesmaid did not have oil in their lamps. And they asked the other five that had oil in their lamps and then had a little supply extra for oil. And they said, not so, lest we not have enough for ourselves. And so the five that had oil trimmed their lanterns and they went into the wedding feast, but the five that did not could not get in. This suggests that not every professing Christian will enter the house of God, the home, that place called heaven. For some have not really made a genuine profession of faith. You know, all of us today believe that Jesus Christ is real, that he came in the fullness of time. We believe that he went to the cross of Calvary after 33 years and died for our sins. We believe all of that with our mind, but we've got to believe it with our heart. You see, we've got to recognize in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that we are to bow to him and confess that, Lord, we have sinned against you, and we ask for your forgiveness. Come into our heart and be our Lord and Savior. Be our Lord and Savior. And if we do that, we can make heaven our home. Jesus ended this parable with the warning that we are to watch. After he had told them, the five, that they would be cast out into outer darkness where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But he said, watch. It means to stay awake, to be alert. In a day that you think not, the Son of Man will come. And then the final thought is the unprofitable servant. Note that each servant in this parable was given money. A talent was basically wages for 20 years of work. 20 years. Well, one was given 5 talents according to his ability. Another was given 2 talents according to his ability. And another was given 1 according to his ability. Now, the Bible teaches us that we have been assigned ministries according to the abilities God has given us. Now, I wished I could sing. I wished I could play the instruments, you know. I can't do any of those things. But some of you can. And it's good to see you use your talents, because I'm here to tell you, if you don't use them, you'll lose them. The Lord can take them away from you. Some of you are apt to teach. And maybe there's some here that are called to preach. If you'll do what God says, he will equip you and he will empower you to do what he calls you to do. Well, these 3 servants fell into 2 categories, faithful, unfaithful. And so the Bible tells us that the one that had 5 talents, he went out and put his to work, and he gained 5 talents in addition. Now, the one that had 2 talents did the same thing. He went out and worked, put his to work, and he gained 2 other talents. But the one was scarce. He didn't do anything wrong necessarily. He just didn't do what he was told to do. Now, we're under orders, and we need to do what we're told to do by the Lord. And so he hid his talent, and when it came time to give an accounting, the one that had 5 talents, he came before the Lord, and the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. So he was a servant, made a ruler. And then the one that had two. He stood before the Lord and he received the same commendation. You've been faithful over a few things. You see, God doesn't expect as much out of the two-talent one as he does the five. According to our several ability is how we stand before God. But he gained two other talents, and the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Thou'll be made a ruler over many things. Isn't that wonderful to know that when you get to heaven, if you've been faithful, God will appoint you to a service and a ministry. And it'll be according to what you've done here on earth. God help us to be faithful. Then that last guy, he was scared to death. And so instead of using his talent, he hid it. He buried it in the ground. And when the Lord came for the accounting, he said, Lord, I was afraid and I hid my talent. And the Lord said, you wicked and unprofitable servant. Depart from me into everlasting darkness. Wow. I want to tell you, one talent people, if it wasn't for them in the church, we wouldn't get a whole lot done. So it's not a shame to have just one talent because you can make that be two talents or three talents as you put yourself in the service of God and do what he's called you to do. How important it is that we realize that Jesus is coming. Accounting time is coming. I don't know when it's going to be, but I do know that it's going to come, and we need to be ready when that day comes. And the question that I ask you today is, are you ready for that day to come? Let's stand together.